former crew chief, NASCAR legend, and most importantly, Alabama native, Larry McReynolds. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys.
Hey, I really appreciate you. Really appreciate you joining us. You know, we're right in the middle of March Madness. I know everybody fills out a bracket. Larry, are you a bracket buster?
You know, I'm not. I have to be very honest. I'm not much into basketball. Of course, I think everybody knows, if they follow me at all, that my true love outside of racing is Alabama Crimson Tide football. But when it gets down to the Final Four, I'll probably watch a little bit. But my love is the race car and the pigskin.
Well, hey, those are two things that are great to be in love with. And Larry, with as much as you're moving around, of course, we're just four races into this young season. You guys getting started there at Daytona back in February. You know, I know Daytona's a special place. I've been several times. My dad and I used to go when I was younger. That was kind of our spring break trip. And Daytona's, for people that have never been, kind of explain it. It's like a hallowed ground. I was fortunate enough to play it in the Rose Bowl in 2009 when we won the national championship. And you get that same feel when you go into Daytona Motor Speedway.
Well, you do. I think you first and foremost, when you just go to Daytona, you know that's where NASCAR was started. You know, back in 1949, and when Bill France Sr. decided to form NASCAR, and about 10 years later, he built Daytona International Speedway, and of course, back then, you know, Talladega was not even thought about, and it was absolutely the biggest speedway that by a long shot. You know, everything else that the Sprint Cup Series guys ran on, which was then just called the Grand National Division, pretty much was half mile tracks, you know, short tracks, dirt and asphalt. And then all of a sudden, there in Daytona Beach, Florida, they built this mammoth high bank 2.5 mile racetrack, and of course it was game on for there. And then they ran the first Daytona 500, I think, in 1959. And to know that's where NASCAR truly started, and that absolutely was a state of the art facility in its time. It's you know. Every driver, every team, everybody that exists in NASCAR, it's so hard to win a race. You just look at the guys that struggle with winning. You know, look at guys like Dale Earnhardt Jr., how long it took him to get back to victory lane when he finally won the Daytona 500. But I think everybody truly put so much into trying to win the Daytona 500. You know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of winning 23 races as a Sprint Cup Series crew chief at a lot of different racetracks. But even today, a number of years later, when I get introduced, people introduce me as two-time Daytona 500 winning crew chief Larry McReynolds. They don't introduce me as Pocono winning crew chief or Martinsville winning crew chief. It's about the Daytona 500. Our year is a little different. We start off with the biggest race of the year. You know, when you look at most stick and ball sports, the biggest event is the last event. It's the championship event. But I think because of the prestige and the history of the Daytona 500, we kind of start off each year with our biggest event.
And Larry, you know, you mentioned you start off with it, but now NASCAR has kind of made some changes to try to not just start off with the big race, but have a big bang at the end. Having been in the sport since 1975, what are your feelings about these new changes to keep that excitement going in terms of the chase at the end?
Well, I know one thing that they've been promoting with this change for the way you get in the chase in 2014 and then how the 10 races in the chase will unfold. One of the things they've been promoting is putting an emphasis on more on winning. Well, I'm not sure you can motivate these drivers and their teams anymore to win. Everybody leaves the shop every single week, and they pour their heart and soul into we're going to win. We need to win a race. It's been a long time since we won a race, or we've never won a race. But I think what they've done with this format, by increasing the chase field to 16 drivers and 16 teams, and then when you get into the chase, it's all about moving to the next bracket. We talked about brackets. It's moving to the next bracket, and the biggest way and the easiest way to do that is you win. But I think what they've done, and we've already seen it already this year in the four races that we've been a part of, is now it's not about points that get you into the chase. It's about winning races, because those 16 spots right now, they're reserved for 16 drivers that win races in the first 26 races. Now, history says and the numbers show that we normally don't get 16 different winners in the first 26 races. It shows anywhere from 10 to 13 if you look back at the previous history of the first 26 races. But we're only four races into 2014, and we're already a fourth of the way with those 16 drivers. We've had four races and four different winners. And I think what we're going to see is more drivers gambling and taking risk and taking chance to try to get the victory lane. I think we saw it with Dale Earnhardt Jr. He gets that Daytona 500 win. He has that one win in the bank. But he knows if he can win two races, he's really punched his ticket to make the chase.
Right.
And I think we saw them gambling at the end of the race at Phoenix and the end of the race in Las Vegas on fuel mileage. They didn't end up winning the race, but they did end up with 2 second place finishes. But now I still think, with that said, teams will pay close attention to points, because, as I mentioned, the history shows we don't really get 16 different winners in the first 26 races. So if we have 12 winners, what's going to fill those other four spots will be the four highest in points that's not been the victory lane. But the real energy is going to be when we get to those 10 chase races, because 16 drivers in 10 races. We're going to run the first three races, and we're going to eliminate the four lowest in points drivers. So once we get through three races, we're going to be 12 drivers now. And then the next three races, we're going to eliminate the next four lowest in points. So we've got then four races with eight drivers. And then we're going to run three more races. And we're going to go down to four drivers then for one race. We're going to go to Homestead. There, four drivers are equal in point. And whoever beats who is going to be our 2014 champion. That's probably the one that I did struggle with a little bit for a while, because I felt like, oh, my gosh, a guy really has a consistent chase, and maybe he wins a race or two, and he goes to Homestead, and he pretty much is on even turf with three other teams, maybe that's not had quite as good of nine races as he's had, but they've stayed high enough to get to that final race. But then I go back to the Super Bowl, not this past Super Bowl, but last year, when the Ravens played the 49ers. You know, the 49ers had an unbelievable year, and the Ravens were barely a wild card team.
Right.
But when they went to New Orleans, that scoreboard was 0-0 before the opening kickoff. So I finally got okay with that. But now there's one other little asterisk when we get to the chase. If each bracket, three races, three races, three races, no matter where you're at in points, if you win, you automatically move to the next bracket. So they've really, the whole premise behind this is if you win and you're in, if you win in the chase, you move on. So I do like it.